Let's just pray. Lord, thank you for your grace to us, and Lord, as we share in this word of yours, help us, Lord, to understand and apply to our own lives, Lord, the promises, the warnings, the blessings that are there to be had. Lord, grant us your mercies and help us, we pray, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Well, this last section of Revelation is what we might call the epilogue. Have you heard of epilogues?
Yeah.
That's the end bit. And an epilogue quite often sums up what's gone before. And we'll see there's some back references in this as well. We'll be covering some of the themes we've already looked at. But we'll get to verse 6 to start with. The angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true." That's good to know, isn't it?
Yeah.
So the angel's been the messenger that's conveyed to John some of the explanations of the visions and things that he's seen and heard. So the angel's saying, you can depend on this. That's important, isn't it? What do you trust in this world? Eh? It's got to be something that's reliable, otherwise you can be in a bit of a mess. Right. So, these words are trustworthy and true. Then he says, "The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place." So, he's telling us what the object of the whole vision was about, yeah? God is the Lord of the spirits of the prophets. What's that mean? It means he's the one who inspires the prophets. Yeah, it's not just prophets talking, it's God speaking through them. Yeah? So God's given them the message, given these people the message. Yeah? And he says, he sent his angel to show his servants. So who are the servants? That's us. Well, the ones in John's day, of course, but us as well. To show his servants what's going to happen. The things that must soon take place. Well, that's a reference back to chapter 1 of Genesis, chapter 1 of Revelation, because he says, I'm going to show you the things that are going to happen soon. What does he mean by soon then? Things that are going to soon take place.
So not far, not long.
Well, when he's writing to John, I've just a little explanation. We've been waiting 2,000 years for this to finish, haven't we, of course?
Okay.
Yeah. I think what John is being told is that the things that you'll be reading about start off in your day, and they'll move on and progress right up to the end of time, as we'll see that. Yeah, but for John, there are some of the things that he's been reading about. They may not be the end, complete version, but throughout the history of God's people, they've been sort of foretastes of it, haven't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, you see that throughout the Bible, the sort of pictures of the Antichrist.
Yeah.
He turns up. It's not the Antichrist himself, but a sort of small version of him.
Yeah.
So, and what John's been getting in the book of Revelation, these things will be happening to some degree throughout the history of the church, but they obviously get a bit hotter towards the end. Yep. Right, so that's what the angel's telling him. He's got things that are going to happen, and they're going to be coming up soon as well. Right, verse 7. Here we are. "Behold, I'm coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book. Behold, I'm coming soon." He's quoting Jesus. That's the angel. We assume it's not Jesus talking, because Jesus talks later on. So the angel's saying what Jesus says. "Behold, I'm coming soon." Well, how soon is soon?
Anytime.
But he wrote this. For God,
time's
nothing, isn't it?
No,
that's right. Yeah. Well, that's a rum one for us, though, isn't it? I mean, if God says, "I'm coming soon," and he means 2,000 years, that's not soon for us, though, is it?
Yeah?
Right. So, I think there's more to this "I'm coming soon" than meets the eye. Yeah? And it's this. All of us haven't got 2,000 years. All of us have got 70, 80, 90, or a few more. Yeah? And that's it. Time stops when you stop. Yeah, so, for Jesus to come, he can come to you 2,000 years ago. Yeah? Right? That's obviously, it's talking about his final return, but when you go to be with the Lord, the rest of the time is done. Yeah? You're waiting at the goalpost, waiting for the final bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, you got the idea. So
when we died, we went somewhere, and then when Jesus returned,
yeah, I thought that.
Then we went to the new Earth.
Yes, the new heaven and the new earth, but we go to heaven, which is up there.
So there is time. Is that true?
No.
Well, no, you won't experience time up there. Yeah? Time for you stopped, but you'll see it passing on Earth.
Time stopped here
yeah,
for you.
Time, yeah, time stops here for us, and you won't be affected by time when you go to heaven.
No, no.
You won't get older. You won't get any lose any.
Paradise. We won't know when Jesus returns.
We will know because our bodies are going to be raised,
yeah.
And our spirits, which are in heaven, are going to be reunited to the bodies that were raised on earth.
Yeah.
And then the new heavens and the new earth.
Makes my brain hurt.
It's good! It's great! It's what we're looking forward to.
I was always told when we die, we fall asleep and we're in dormant.
No, we're not. No. Well, then they've taught you wrong then. No. When we die, our spirits go to be with the Lord. I mean, remember the thief on the cross? Yeah. What did Jesus say to him? Today, not 2,000 years, you know, today you will be with me in paradise. Right, so, and enjoying it too.
When our father died though, and he said that he would come and raise him up first.
Those that have died, their spirits are going to be with the Lord, but the bodies are buried on earth. You didn't see anybody disappearing.
No.
No, the bodies are on earth. Yeah, and they when Jesus comes back, he calls out, rise! Yeah? And the dead in Christ rise, and they meet the believers who are alive then, who were transformed at that time. So everybody's got a resurrection body, even if you haven't died.
Yeah? Our body here.
It's our body, but it's a transformed body.
Yeah,
it'll be you,
yeah.
But it'll be the transformed you.
Yeah. What do you think of an eye?
What? A transformed body.
We'd be like Jesus.
Yeah.
We'd be able to fly. Go through walls.
It's only a tent.
It's only a tent, yeah. But the tent's going to be a beautiful tent when we get the next one, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's a body like Jesus' body. It's real. You can feel it. Jesus said when he rose from the dead, come on guys, have a look. It's me. It's genuine.
Yeah. Right?
But he walked through the door without opening it.
Yeah.
Well, I always understood that when this happens, you get ready, you're on the second load.
Get ready, you're on the second?
Load. To
load.
Go. Uh-huh.
Oh, I see. Those that are alive when he comes back. Yes, yes. Because in the letter to the Thessalonians, isn't it, where they're worried. Some of the people have died. Some of the believers have died, and they were believing Jesus was coming back soon. Right? So they thought, oh dear, they've missed out. So Paul has to say to them, no, they've not missed out, because when Jesus comes back, they're going to be the first ones to rise, and then we'll catch up with them as we chance to meet them in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah. So nobody misses out when Jesus comes, you know, we're in. Yes. Right, okay. Where have we got to? Yes. Verse 7, still on verse 7. I'm coming soon. Blessed. There's a blessing for you. Yeah. But the blessing is, he who...
Keep.
What does it mean keep? You sort of put it in a leg and wrap it up and put it in a safe?
No.
To do it?
Yeah.
Yes. He who keeps means to live it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can
he
I ask you something?
Yes?
What about the people that are going to be with the Lord? What happens to them?
They go to face God as the judge and then to hell, isn't it?
So do they go up there as well?
No, they're not changed like that. No. They're raised, but it's not the same type of resurrection, is it? Some are raised to eternal life, some are raised to eternal judgment.
White throne judgment.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, don't worry about that.
Don't worry. I'm not one of them.
Yeah, good. Yeah, that's the point. Yes, yeah. Okay. I've lost my place. Right, yes. Blessed. You've got a blessing. Blessed are those who do the prophecy of this book. Or the words of this book, yeah? That's what it actually says. You see, and I believe it's probably better to use the word words, even though it's translated prophecy here, because it says something about Scripture. Scripture isn't man's ideas, people's thoughts put into words. It's God's words expressing God's thoughts. Yeah? The words matter. Yeah, that's what I'm getting at, yeah? Blessed are those who keep the words of this prophecy, of this book. And the word book really should be translated scroll, really.
Mm.
I mean, we use the word. You've got scroll there. Yeah. Do you know why?
Because it's supposed originally written on scrolls.
Yeah, because at the time John wrote this, books hadn't been invented. Yeah, that's quite a random, and was there a novelty when they invented books, you know. Because previously you had these long scrolls and you roll one bit up and roll that one bit, flicking pages is quite an invention, yeah? But, so it's the book, keep the book. Right, next then. Verse 8. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. So this is John's testimony. He's adding his sort of signature to the book, yeah? I, John, saw and heard these things. Now then, what were these things he saw and heard? Absolutely astounding things, wasn't it? All these visions, all these noises, and thunders and lightnings and everything else. How would you be when you've been through all of that? Completely bamboozled. Yeah. And so John does something rather stupid, as you'll see in a moment. He says, when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who'd been showing them to me. Well, he's done this already, you know. In chapter 19, if you look at chapter 19 verse 10, it's there. He says, I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said to me, don't do it. Yeah, right, that's chapter 19 verse 10 there. Yeah, so John fell down in front of the angel before. Now then, someone said, anybody can make a mistake once, it's a fool that repeats it.
Well, he's shocked, wouldn't he?
He's completely boggled by it all. Perhaps because the angels quoted the words of Jesus. I think that's what explains. The angels quoted the words of Jesus, behold, I'm coming soon. So you could maybe think it's Jesus talking for some reason, you know. Yeah. So, but it also says, it's quite an amazing thing, isn't it, that this is an angel. It must be quite magnificent to confuse poor old John. So I've got a thing, I've called it glorious confusion. It was so good he lost his brain about it. But there's something else about it, and I've called it, it's a humble confession. If you'd done this twice, you wouldn't have put in it in second time, would you? You'd have left that bit out. Wouldn't you? Well, John wrote it in because he's honest, he's truthful, he's a humble confession. I got it wrong. There's a lesson from it, So, it's a humble confession. So, verse 9, so he says to me, do not do it. Don't do that either. Do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and of all who keep the words of this book. Worship God. So the angel tells us a bit about himself and about some others as well. I am a fellow servant. Isn't that good? Angels are just, they're on our level, you know. Fellow servants. That's what it's about. I'm a fellow servant with you and with your brothers the prophets. So what's he calling John?
A prophet.
A prophet? He's recognising John as a prophet. And your... that's what Moses wanted, your brothers, the prophets, and so there's prophets, there's angels, and there are those, all who keep the words of this book. Who are they? Supposed to be us. Are you keeping them? You can count yourself, as an us, if you're doing the condition. Right. Those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. That's right. Isn't that lovely? So, it's back to the Ten Commandments really there. What's the first three of the Ten Commandments? Do you know them? Hang on, wait. Start again. What's number one? I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Right. You shall not bow down to them or make graven images. Right. And you mustn't misuse the name of God. So, here it's worship God alone. That's what it's about. He's alone. He's worthy. Good. Right. How good are you on the Ten Commandments, by the way? Probably not too good. Are there any of them left? The world doesn't, but no, the world doesn't keep them. They've ditched the lot. Yes. And, brothers and sisters, this is a fact. when it comes to the end of time and the judgments are judged, mm-hmm. right? The Ten Commandments are the standards by yeah. which the nations are judged.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They're not going to change. Right? Yeah. I remember. Exactly, yes. Yeah. You're in big trouble, yeah. I remember speaking to an atheist friend of mine, and we were on about all the terrible things that happened in the Old Testament, you know, how the judgments on this people and that people and all those things. And he says, you know, how do you explain that? I said, well, for the present time, God is showing grace. He's not applying the law as it will be applied at the end.
Yeah.
He applied it then, he's going to apply it in the future.
Yeah.
You want to count yourself fortunate, he's not bringing it to bear at the moment.
Right, no.
You better repent.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Or that it's all been jettisoned and it's all not going to be used. Well, the Ten Commandments are coming back, I assure you that. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because it's the reflection of God's will,
yeah.
and it's not going to change.
Yeah.
Right. So, verse 10. We're on to verse 10 then. Then he told me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near. Well, I don't know if you know, but John is a bit like Daniel in many ways. He's Daniel's described as a sort of beloved prophet. John's the beloved disciple.
Yeah.
And Daniel had a prophecy, and in chapter 12, verse 4 of Daniel, here's a bit of exercise for your fingers now. Daniel. That's cheating. You want the end chapter of Daniel, though. Chapter 12, Daniel 12, and verse 4. Right, which says, but you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. So Daniel has been given this tremendous vision, amazing prophecy, and he hasn't the foggiest idea what it's about. Yeah? He says he finishes up with a headache at the end. You can read his little section there. But the Lord says to him, Daniel, turn the key on it, seal it up, because it's too soon. They'll be getting aware at the end, right? So Daniel lived what, 500 or so years, 600 years before John did, before he wrote this. So things have happened in the meantime, and so now when John is given the message, he's told, don't seal it up because the time is near. And what does he mean by near? Does he mean to say, remember we've had 2,000 years of this, yeah? The time is near. What I'm just trying to say, go on, yeah?
Sorry, in Daniel 8:26 it gives you a little commentary about the future, doesn't it?
Yes, he's got all the future, though Daniel didn't quite understand it all. That's the problem, yes.
Yeah.
We can look back now, and we've got more of an idea, haven't we? Yes.
To go there, yeah. Distant future has got...
Distant future.
Daniel's time. That's when we go, isn't it?
Yeah.
When we go.
Well, there you are. But, the time is near. I think it's not just that we die or whatever what I've mentioned earlier, but I think what it's saying is that Revelation, the message of Revelation, is starting to run right at the time of John. So we find, as I said, the rise of people who are hostile, persecutions, all those sorts of things that we're seeing them unfold as time goes on. It's just they get more and more detailed and intense as we get nearer the end. Yeah. So we have what is described as the Great Tribulation, some would use that term, yeah? At the end.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, there's been tribulation for brothers and sisters from John's day. And for some of them, it was seriously great.
Yeah.
And for some, in some parts of the world today, it is big.
Yeah.
I think the Great Tribulation is reflected the last 3.5 years because of the bowls and the trumpets.
Yeah, it's pouring out, yes.
Pouring
and the world's beginning to crack up, it seems to me, and that's what we're seeing. More of the end stuff now than we did before.
Yeah.
Okay, right, where have we got to now then? The time is near. That was verse 10, wasn't it? Yeah. Right. So you got to, it's all open now, John. Don't seal it up. Let it out, yeah? Because we're in the age of Messiah now. This is the last age until the final curtain comes down, yeah? But what about Revelation 10 verse 4?
Mm.
What about, if you say? Well, what is Revelation 10 verse 4?
Oh.
It's got something important to tell us. Verse 4, when the seven thunders spoke, I was about to write, But I heard a voice from heaven say, yeah, seal up what the seven thunders have said and do not write it down.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Everything's open, but what the seven thunders have said, you don't know. John heard it, but he's not allowed to write it down. Yeah? You're not allowed to write it. He wasn't allowed to write it down. What's that tell you?
He didn't want us to know.
He didn't want us to know. The lesson I draw out of it is this. God's given us what he wants us to know, but there's a whole lot of stuff we don't know, and he won't let us know until we get there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure it would terrify.
Sorry?
I'm sure it would terrify.
Well, it could well do that, yes, it could well do, but it's in Deuteronomy. I always get this. I think it's 24:24. I've said this before, haven't I? Yeah? It's the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children, and our children's children. In other words, there are things that God showed us, get on with that. There are things that he's holding for himself, you better trust him.
Wait.
Yeah.
Is that like when Jesus said you won't know the hour or the day?
Yeah.
But he'll give us maybe the years or the
months. He'll give us clues.
If we know the seasons of our scriptures. Yeah.
But he's not letting on all the details.
No.
And why doesn't he tell you everything?
Blow your head, wouldn't
it? Well, blow your head, frighten you to death. there's another reason. And the basic reason is God wants you to trust him. It's all about faith in the end, dear friends. If you don't trust him, what's the point?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's not letting everything out, but all what we've got here is revealed.
What was that,
Deuteronomy?
I think it's 24:24, is it? Is there not? I get this wrong every time. It's the same number, but it could be 12:12, 13:13, 14:14, or 32:32. Believe it or that. It's one of them. But I can quote it to you, as I say, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children. As it says in Hebrews, I quoted this last week, didn't I? It says somewhere. Right? So I'm being biblical in not being able to tell you the number. And also forgetful as well. Yeah, forgetful as well. 29:29. I was close though, wasn't it? 24 is not far out. 29:29. Oh, well, look at this. Here's a man with a memory. How about it? We'll have to look it up now. Ah, you've checked it out. Yeah.
So the revealed things belong to us and are descended forever.
Yeah.
So that we may obey the word of the Lord.
Yes.
Psalm 25:14.
Well, that's the quote I wanted. 29:29, you see?
Mm-hmm.
I quoted it, it's just I didn't know the number. There you are.
Yeah.
Better to know the word than the number, I'd suggest. Anyway, there you go. It's nice if you know both of them. Right, okay, where do we go? Verse 11. Right, now this is an interesting verse. I wondered what you thought when you heard it, yeah? Let him who does what is wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who is vile continue to be vile. Let him who does what is right do right. And let him who is holy continue to be holy. What's all that about?
It seems contrary to the Great Commission.
It seems contrary to the Great Commission.
We're told to go and evangelize.
We are. Well, what's going on? I'd like to suggest this, as an explanation for you, and I hope you'll find it helpful.
Yeah.
Time, as John is speaking, and as the Lord is speaking, as time is getting towards the end, he says people have got so bad, they won't change.
Yeah.
Right? So, let them be. Yes, right. Pigs and swine and pearls. Right, so, let them be. If that's the way they want to go, let them go. Yeah. Right? Yeah, and then those who are, that's so one kind of let means let them go.
Yeah.
But there's another kind of let that means go on.
Yeah.
And for the second bit it says let the righteous carry on being righteous, yeah, and the holy carrying on being holy. Yeah. Keep it up, in other words.
Yeah.
Right. But, and this will be helpful for Chris. I read this in the commentary, so it's not my thoughts on this point.
Yeah.
He says that verse, in a way, is a very subtle message. Yeah? It's simply saying this. You better change while there's still time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? If you're being evil, if you continue to be evil, as it says you can, you know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's the warning, the subtle warning to turn from it. Yeah.
I think there's been signs and wonders as well, haven't there?
Yeah, but signs and wonders don't always persuade people, you know.
Yeah. The people, us, what we are doing, that's the sort of thing that's more important.
Mm. Well, people need to change, yeah.
What are people's thoughts on the fires that are there? Because it does say the world will be destroyed.
I know.
By fire.
It did cross my mind. We're to show great compassion.
We've had it here.
Yeah.
America.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you know, but in Sweden it's burning up near the Arctic Pole.
Yeah.
Arctic Circle, yeah. Yeah, the fires in Sweden.
Yeah. Of all the newspapers today, only the Times' main headline was Bible prophecy. Yeah, something like that. Biblical prophecy. Yeah, it said that. So someone in the Times must be a Christian.
While these things are signs and warnings, signs and warnings.
What I was going to say was, that verse is very hard if your spouse or your children parents are not Christian.
I know,
But everybody's responsible for their own,
I know.
Try to help them if they don't want to see. Yeah.
I know.
This is saying, give up.
Hmm? Yeah.
Well.
No, don't
you
give up.
No, it's not saying it's not telling you to give up. It's basically saying that you give him the message. You carry on this way.
That's right.
That's where you're going.
So let them continue to do.
Let them keep on. Yeah. I don't mean to say we don't try to interfere in one sense. Yeah.
It's just like if you say to someone, Jesus, they don't
want
to
know. Don't want to know. It's your choice. Yeah.
God knows already.
That's not the issue here. Yeah. You've got to let people know.
You can't stop, so that wouldn't be an option.
So
I assumed it was telling us not to
interfere.
No, just keep on until the end.
No, he's just talking about the world as it is. Basically, don't you worry because they're going crazy.
It's like when he said, wipe the dust off your feet, didn't
It's terrible. I mean, the world's going to hell, literally, at the moment, you know. It's not funny.
No.
Yeah. Okay, we do what we can, Verse 12, where have we got to? Behold, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. Now, this is Jesus speaking.
Because
the next bit, I am the Alpha and the Omega, comes in a minute. But, okay, behold, right, so behold means...
Pay attention.
Look. Yeah. I am coming soon. Yeah, he is, isn't he?
Yeah.
Right. Good. And my reward is with me. So he's got the rewards ready. Already, your presents are already wrapped. Right. So my reward is with me. I will give to everyone according to what he has done. Yeah. What's that mean?
What you've done on earth.
There are rewards and there are punishments according to what you've done. Now, I'm not saying for you punishments, but there's the positive side, there are rewards. Yeah? And for those that have refused Jesus, they'll face the music for what they've done.
Yeah.
It's not that they haven't believed, it's what they've done that they get judged for. Yeah. Right, so, do you find this strange? The Lord rewards you for what you do.
Yeah, but you said that you're forgiven, aren't you, when you confess?
You are forgiven. Yeah, but it'll reward you if you start doing some good, Janet. You know, it's about time you started, you know. Exactly, it's grace. God gives you the ability and the willpower to do the good stuff, and then he rewards you for it. Now, isn't that generous?
Yeah.
That's grace, you know.
What worries me on that one is, about
the
rewards we lose.
Ah, well, brother. Yeah. Yes, well, could have done better.
We can have rewards.
Is that your school report? Could have done better. Every time, oh dear. Yeah, it's a challenge, isn't it, Jim?
Yeah.
But I just want to offer this as perhaps an encouragement, an incentive is, you know, God's not sort of got a whip, cracking a whip behind.
That's
you know.
What I think. I don't think he's a wicked God.
No, he isn't.
He wants us to enjoy life.
The motivation to do what we do is because we love him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lovely little poem I quote sometimes. He says, "I cannot work my soul to save, for that my God has done.
Yeah.
But I will work like any slave, for love of his dear son.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's what drives us, yeah? We want to please him.
Yeah.
He's the best.
Yeah.
Give him the best. Yeah. Right, okay. Verse 12, where have we got to?
Yeah.
Ah, yes. I'm coming soon. My reward is with me. And then he says this. I am what?
Alpha.
The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. We've explained this. Alpha and Omega are the Greek letters A to Z for us, yeah? Yeah? Beginning and end, first and last. Same idea in different ways of saying it. Now, who's saying this?
Jesus.
Right. Now then, if you go to chapter 1, verse 8, see what he says there. Chapter 1, verse 8. Who's talking there? I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God.
Yeah.
That's Father.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's the Son as well.
Yeah. They share the same. Yeah. Because they are the same. Not in person, but in essence. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Lovely. That's really nice, isn't it? You get sandwiched between the Alpha and the Omega.
Yeah. You get a confirmed.
It's a lovely one, isn't it? Yeah. So there's our Lord Jesus, right? So. Yeah. So, blessed, another blessing coming up for you here, verse 14. Blessed are those who wash their robes. There are other translations that come up with that.
I've done my homework the weekend on this.
Good.
And I looked at many translations.
Yes.
And 14a should say this, if I read it out, can I?
You can.
Right, so it should say, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city.
Yes, except to say the first part is questioned. Is it do the commandments or wash your robes? Yeah? And the majority of manuscripts would suggest it's the wash the robes which is the correct verse.
Is it?
Yeah?
Alright.
And I'll give you a clue as to why I think it's correct, not just for the manuscripts, but if you go back to Revelation 7:14, I said that the epilogue does recaps. If you go to 7:14, what does it say there? No question about the text on this one.
Sir, you know.
These are those who come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes.
Oh,
yeah. Got the point. So I believe it's a recapitulation. It's restating.
Echoing that
verse. Yeah. That's my guess. And as I say, the manuscript. Lots of manuscripts that say it's washed the robes.
Yeah.
But is that confessing his sin?
To keep clean, to wash your robes, that's the idea, where have I got? I've lost the place again. Those who wash the verse 14. Those who wash their robes,
It can be in keeping clean, or it can be
seeking forgiveness. Well, that's how you keep clean.
That's what
the word is keep washing. It's not just about washing once.
No,
not falling into temptation.
Yeah. Wash your robes. That's right. It's seeking to live a clean life.
Washed by the cleansing of God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The ongoing sanctifying work of God in our lives. Yeah. Blessed are those who wash their robes, and it doesn't say have washed. It's wash.
Yeah.
You keep on.
Yeah.
Who wash their robes that they may have the right to the tree of life.
Yeah.
What's the right to the tree of life? It's enjoying the blessings of salvation and all the things that go with it, and that you may go through the gates into the city is you join the family. You're in. Right? Okay, so that's what is promised to those who wash their robes. You can go in. Now then, there's one little bit I want to add, which I was mentioning Sunday evening, which is this whole thing about the washing business and all of that. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. A branch that doesn't bear fruit, he'll cut off. Right, it's thrown in the fire.
Yeah.
What's the branch that's cut off? It's the unbeliever.
Yeah.
Right? But it says they were joined to Jesus. How were they joined to Jesus as a branch to the vine that get cut off?
Because they're joined to the family, isn't it? Is it the family? Same family? No?
Yeah. I ought to have brought in. Basically, the vine produces two types of branch. One branch produces leaves and goes wandering off. Yeah? And the other one produces leaves and flowers and fruits. Yeah? And he says the gardener comes along and he trims off the one that's bearing fruit to make it make more fruit, but the one that's not producing any fruit at all, he chops it off.
Yeah.
Right? Who got chopped off? Was Judas.
Mm-hmm.
It's the kind that it's talking about people who are close to Jesus. It looks like they're joined, but they're not. There's no real life flowing into them, because they're not producing fruit. A sign of life flowing in is that you produce fruit. So he's saying is that you are the ones who are going to go into the city, enjoy the tree, enjoy the life, because you're joined to him. Right? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Outside. We're going outside now. Quick tour outside. Verse 15. Outside are the dogs. Those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. Outside.
Does he mean non-believers?
He does mean non-believers.
Magic arts doesn't mean that in like the conjurer. It means
occult. Occult stuff. It's not the one with the quick flick of the hand and whatever. This is occult. I want to suggest this, he's using what I call natural symbolism of being inside the city and outside the city. You'll see why in a minute, but let's look at the little dogs first. Before that, who's inside is secure. That's the idea. If you're inside, you're secure. You're outside, you're in trouble. Outside are the lost, aren't they?
Yeah.
That right? But there isn't anybody outside in the new heaven and new earth. Where are they?
In
Revelation 21 verse 8, they're in the lake. So as I say, it's using city symbolism for a spiritual reality. But let's get to the dogs. Who are the dogs?
The dogs who ate
Jezebel. Who used to call people dogs? The Jews did. And who were they talking about?
Gentiles,
right.
Really?
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
It wasn't very pleasant, I know, yeah. But Paul talks about the dogs, and he's referring to unbelieving Jews.
And the dogs in the parable to bring under the table.
They're not puppies. They're not little shih tzu dogs.
Wild.
But anyway,
It was a familiar word used by the Jews for rejecting outsiders.
But the idea is basically this, that those who are unbelievers, whether Jew or Gentile, get the name dogs, it would seem. Because they're wild, they're not controlled, they're doing their own stuff, basically. Dogs, put it this way, Jews didn't keep pets, it would seem. Didn't keep pets.
They probably got rabies.
Right, so your cats are going to have to go, love you. Anyway, you're not allowed to eat them anyway, they're unclean. Did you know that? Anyway, sorry about a stupid comment there. Verse 16, let's move on here. I, Jesus, sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. Right, so this is Jesus speaking, and he's saying, I, Jesus, so I'm talking, he says, I've sent my angel to give you this testimony. Right, so what's he doing? He's writing his authentication slip for the angel. This angel is kosher. He's doing what I've told him to do. He's telling you the stuff I told him to tell you. I sent him. That's what he's getting at. I've authorized him. I sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. What's this testimony?
A prophecy of his birth.
It's the message. It's the message of Revelation. That's what he's talking about here, isn't it? The message of Revelation is the testimony that he's been given. So he's done the job, and then who's it for?
Everybody,
for all the churches. You notice that?
Right,
now there are some teach, and I don't agree with them. Some teach that the first five chapters are for the church, the last two chapters are for the church, and the bit in between is for the Jews or the world or anything else, but it's not for the church. Well, he's just told me it's all for the church. We've said this before, the word church is a bad word. Because we mean buildings. But it's not, it's believing communities. You got the idea, right? So the book of Revelation was given by Jesus through the angel to John for us. You got it? Right. Okay. He says now then something else. I am. What is he?
Root.
I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star. Right, what's the root? You've got the, he's the ancestor of David, yeah? He's the source. He's the one that brought David into being, yeah? I'm the root of David, and I am the what?
Offspring
of David, yeah? In other words, he's the one that's come from the line of David that fulfills all that the Davidic kingdom's all about. So Jesus is the source and the end of the whole kingdom business. Yeah? Now then, there's a lovely bit, I really like this, where Jesus is being questioned about things, and then he fires two questions to them. Well, one question in two parts, really. Matthew chapter 22, verse 41. And of course, you can answer it. But if you were a Pharisee in those days, you'd be totally stumped, as they were. Matthew 22, verse 41. Right. So, put yourself in the Pharisees' shoes, right, for a moment. Yeah. While the Pharisees were gathered together, they don't like Jesus, by the way, you knew that, didn't you? Yeah? Jesus asked them, oh, they're in for it now. What do you think about the Messiah, Christ? Whose son is he? The son of David, they replied. They knew their Bibles, you see. Right? He said to them, how is it then that David, speaking by the Spirit, he's a prophet, calls him Lord? For he says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If then David calls him Lord, how can he be his son? No one could say a word in reply. And from that day on, no one dared to ask him any more questions. Yeah. Oh, got you?
Yeah.
Right, so your answer is, now you're not a Pharisee anymore, you can answer this question. How is it that if he's the son of David, how can David call him Lord? And the answer is, brothers and sisters, you should know this. If Jesus is, if Messiah is David's son of David, how can David call him Lord? He's already there as God, but he becomes the Messiah by birth through David. So he's David's descendant, but he's David's Lord as well. It's the human and the divine nature of Messiah that Jesus is pointing to. And they daren't ask him any more questions.
No.
Yeah.
It says in the Bible, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word.
Well, we know that.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, yes, but they didn't believe John's Gospel.
No.
That's the problem, yeah. Okay, last little bit, here we are. Root and offspring of David and the bright morning star. What's that about? The bright morning star. Jesus is the morning star, yeah?
It's the beginning and the end, sort of thing.
Well, that's, yes. Where's this morning star bit come from? Let me give you a reference for you. Chapter 24 of Numbers, verse 17. Numbers 24:17. It's the prophecy of Balaam. You heard of Balaam? The man that got talking to donkeys.
Yeah.
That guy, yeah? Numbers 24:17. He was a false prophet. Do you know Balaam was a false prophet? So why is his prophecies in the Bible? Do you know why? No, not to show that they were false. What he says is true. Yeah. Because Balaam, when he was going there, God met him. He says, oi, you say what I tell you and nothing else. So he got stumped. Right. He was a false prophet, trying to lead people away, but God snookered him. Yeah. So anyway, here we are. He makes a prophecy, does Balaam. Right, verse 17, he says, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. He will crush the foreheads of Moab, the skulls of all the sons of Sheth, and so on. And he's going to be a ruler. Right? He says, I can see him, but it's a long way off. It's the Messiah, of course. Right? And he says, a star will come out of Jacob. That's the star bit, yeah? And a scepter. So the morning star is a symbol of royalty, really. He's going to be a royal king, It's coming out of Jacob. Yeah. So that's what he saw. So the morning star. What's the morning star, by the way, dear friends? Do you know? You astronomers?
First star in the morning.
A first star in the morning. Very good.
I didn't know about that until quite recently.
Right.
I didn't realise there was a morning star.
There is a morning star.
And I looked one morning and I thought, oh,
but I've got news for you, sometimes it's the evening star as well. Do you know what it is? It's a planet. Ah, now, we've got several planets. Which planet is it? Venus! It's Venus! Venus' surface is so reflective, it shines unbelievably bright, yeah? So, it's a star, it looks like a star, but it's the planet, yeah? Venus, yeah? So, it comes up in the morning, yeah? And it sometimes goes down at the night as the evening star as well. What does the morning star do?
It's
the same star, but it's in the morning. It comes up in the morning. Why do you call the morning star? What does it do? What does Venus do in the morning?
The sun comes up first.
It comes up first. It tells you the sun's going to be following fairly shortly. Right? Yeah? Right? That's what Venus is doing. He's telling you the sun's coming up fairly shortly after me. Yeah? In other words, Jesus is saying is, the days are coming. Yeah, the great day is coming. I'm the morning star. I'm the introduction to the glory. Yeah? Right, that's the idea of what it's about. Yeah. So, verse 17. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. That's the testimony of the Spirit and the Bride, and they say, come. Who are they saying come to?
I thought we were the bride.
Yeah.
No, so we're saying come to ourselves.
No, we may be saying come to Jesus.
Yeah.
The Spirit and the Bride say come. Out of our hearts they call out this song, come Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
You must have had that one before, yeah?
Yeah.
But also the heart out of the believer comes to people and say, come to Jesus.
Yeah?
Which is what we get here. So he says, the Spirit and the Bride say, come Jesus, but come people as well. And let him who hears say, so if someone's heard it and they've got it, they should say, come.
Yeah.
Right? You've heard it,
yeah.
You've got it, you say come, right? And whoever is thirsty, let him come.
Yeah,
it's an invitation to those who are thirsty.
Yeah.
That's a calling to people to come to Jesus, isn't it? Yeah. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. Yeah, so we're evangelizing right up to the end, you see?
Yeah.
Got the idea? We're inviting people. You say, yeah, you can carry on your own sweet way, but if you want to come, I can tell you where to come.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah? Let him who come take the free gift of the water of life. Do you notice that's lovely?
Yeah.
It's the free gift of the water of life. How about that?
Yeah.
Is it free?
Yeah.
I read this in a commentary. It was really. He said, it's free for you. But it cost him everything.
Yeah.
But it's free for us. The water of life. Grace, salvation. So, closing words now. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. So here's a warning. Yeah? If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. Don't mess with the message. That's what he's saying. It's the book. Yeah? Don't mess with it. If you add stuff to it, well, you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You'll add to you the plagues in the book. Mm-hmm. Don't alter the scroll. How do people alter it? Put their own bits in, change what they think. You're called to make your mind up in a sense, but it's when you start teaching stuff out of that that's not right in that sense.
I used to think it was just Revelations when it mentioned about don't alter things.
Yes.
But when I studied this weekend again, I realised it meant the whole Bible.
It does cover the whole Bible, ultimately.
Hold back.
In the context, it's referring to the book of Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Naturally, don't alter the words of this scroll, which is the book of Revelation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But obviously, as we know, we understand what Scripture is, you don't mess with any of it.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. As Jesus says, every jot and every tittle will be there.
Yeah.
But he's saying don't mess around with this book. It's important you don't meddle with this one. And how do people add to it? Well, I'd like to suggest this. It's human contributions. They throw in their bit. This is what you should do. This is how you do it. And all that sort of stuff.
Their own interpretation.
Yeah. Well, interpretation is one thing, but it's messing it up in bad ways, I think, is what it's about. There's a there's a bit in could be Deuteronomy, but it's when Moses is told about building an altar. Right, when you're going to build an altar, what do you make it out of? You make it out of stones. They have to be special stones.
Yeah.
What kind of stones?
Round ones.
No,
right.
Not the shape. It could be any old shape. It could be any old colour. The one thing you don't have on them is somebody's been chiselling at them. Mm. Yeah? You don't meddle with the stones when you make an altar.
Right.
What basically Moses is being told is, God says, you worship me my way, not your way.
Yeah.
Right? You do it my way and I'll accept it. You start chipping away and doing your own bits on it, I won't have it. Yeah? And that's what he's saying is, you start messing around with this, I'm not accepting what you're doing. Yeah? You'll be big trouble for you. That's one side of it, right? Verse 19. Right. And anyone who takes away words from the prophecy of this book, right, what do they do there?
It's the same as what if you put words in or
This is more commonly done than adding, I believe, when people take bits out.
Mormons do that, don't they?
Yeah, well, they've done it right, left and centre.
Yeah.
These are what I call, it's my little word for them, the scissor men. The scissor men. They come along to the Bible, and I'm applying it to the Bible like you said now.
Yes,
they come along to the Bible, that's a bit too miraculous, that will cut that bit out, Oh, I don't like what that says, cut that bit out, And if there's bits in Revelation you don't like, oh no, I'll have to go. Right? Yeah, well God says, you start chopping bits out, I'll find out, I'll chop you out as well.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
So he says...
Let me have a look at Deuteronomy 4.
Well now, yes, we can. Deuteronomy 4. You beat me to it, you see. Deuteronomy 4 verse 2.
So good.
This is Moses.
Yeah.
But I've got another verse for you as well.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Good. See if we compare on this one. Deuteronomy 4 verse what?
Two.
Which says, do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I gave you. It's exactly what John's being told, isn't it? Yeah?
Right, yeah.
Right. Now then, there's another verse.
What I was trying to get to was, it doesn't just apply to the book of Revelation.
Right, well, that's what we said, yes. Right, it doesn't, no. No, it applies to Deuteronomy and all the other four books, five that Moses wrote as well. But it applies to the rest, of course.
Would the other statement be Deuteronomy 12:32?
That would be. Deuteronomy 12:32. Let's go for it. You got that one as well.
But it can slip into verse 13. It's the way they translated off the scroll.
All right.
Like you pointed that out before. Yeah.
Be careful not to sacrifice your burnt offerings where you please.
Yeah.
Offer them only at the place the Lord your God will choose in one of your tribes. And observe everything I command you.
Yeah.
Now what's the other verse? Verse 32.
Yeah.
We want verse 32.
Yeah.
See that you do all I command you.
Yeah.
Do not add to it or take away from it.
From it, yeah.
Yeah. Don't meddle with it.
It slips into verse 1 in some places.
So we're at... So he says, anyone who takes... Back to Revelation now. Anyone who takes away words from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city which I described in this book. He's basically saying is, you mess with it, you lose salvation. There's no salvation for you. Yeah, you've had it. You're cutting yourself off, effectively, aren't you? So, you won't have any part in the tree of life, and you won't be able to go into the city either, which are described in this book. So, make sure you take the whole book and nothing but the book. Right. Verse 20, we're nearly there. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. That's the Lord saying that. And he's testifying, he's actually putting his signature on it as well now. And he says, yes. Now, I read a little bit of commentary about that. Yeah? Why does Jesus say, yes, I'm coming soon?
Because
they've prayed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, come Lord Jesus. Yeah? He's answering your prayers. He's answering your prayers. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yes, good, you got it. Yeah, good, I'm coming soon. Yes, I am coming soon, and we've thought about the coming soon bit. But it could also be taught of that as Jesus says, I'm coming, he's coming in the process. Throughout the years he's working in his own ways in people's lives. He's building his church. He's calling out people to himself. That's all part of his coming in a way, isn't it?
Yeah.
because he's coming in glory, so he's got to have the glory gathered together before he comes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Right, so, then lastly, verse 21, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. And amen, is what we say.
Yes.
So, it's all about grace. Isn't it interesting how the Bible ends with grace?
Yeah.
And all God's people, that's the bride. Yeah? Wonderful. And we say amen. What does amen mean? We'll agree. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Amen comes from a root word meaning true.
Yeah.
You say, yes, it's true.
True.
Yeah. Grace,
get right and cease evil. Get right and cease evil. That's grace for you. Or God's riches at Christ's expense. That's the other one. So, dear friends, I'll offer my final summary. Just one sentence on Revelation. Yeah. Jesus wins, and in him we win too.
Amen.
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 We've done it. Oh, Matt. Bless you all. Right, let's pray. Eh? Lord, we've read it, and you said there's a blessing in reading it. Lord, we've read, you say there's a blessing for those that live it, Lord, and we pray you help us to be on our guard against evil. Lord, not to be scared when we see terrible things happening in this world, Lord, that you forecast would happen. Help us, Lord, to be people who share the good news, Lord, that there will be a great multitude that have come out of every tribe, language, people and nation to worship and praise you, the living Lord. Thank you, Lord, you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end for us, Lord. You brought us to life and you're going to keep us going forever. We say thank you, Lord. Thank you for being the King, the Lord of all. We just bless and praise you, Father. It's your plan that Jesus, your Son, brought to pass through the power of the Holy Spirit. We give you praise, one God, forevermore. Amen.
Amen.